Rock, sport and talk.
The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
This is Radio City Talk.
So in his stunning first season at Liverpool Football Club, Mo Salah has won the PFA Player of the Year Award. He beat Kevin De Bruyne, Harry Kane, Leroy Sané, David Silva and David De Gea in the vote by his fellow players. Let's have a chat with Paul Machin from Red Men TV about this. Morning, Paul.
Good morning, Steve.
It's great to hear, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a little part of me that thinks, oh no, surely not. You know, like, we're so used to people not recognising the brilliance of the things that we see every week that I think a little part of me thought, oh no, someone will probably give it to De Bruyne or whatever, but no, absolutely amazing for him.
It was mentioned before, the fact that this vote closes somewhere around February time, which I think makes it even more amazing, really, because some people might have said by February, Kevin De Bruyne was the man with his nose in front. I mean, obviously, if you judged it until now, it'd be very hard to look past Mo Salah.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you look at the PFA Team of the Year as well, I think it was a similar complaint, and you can understand why there weren't more Liverpool players in it because of the time and of the vote. But no, I think that makes it even better. I think I think it was obvious. If you know, the voting was done today, I think that Salah would have absolutely walked away with it. That he's gotten it at that time of the year as well, I think speaks volumes to just the impact he had, you know, obviously the impact he's had on the people within the game.
He appears, and I used this word earlier, he appears arrogant now when he plays up front, almost knowing that he's going to score. Everything he's touching now, I suppose earlier in the season you might have said one in two opportunities were being scored. Everything that he seems to want to score now goes in.
Yeah, and even to be fair, I even the last couple of weeks, I actually slightly disagree in the last couple of games. I think he's trying to force it a bit too much, but it's still coming. You know, it's coming almost from the most unlikely of sources. You know, you start to reach, but you think, well, this might not drop for him, and then just one thing happens. He sticks in the back of the net, and you know, and he's winning his points as well. It's unbelievable.
He's a very different type of goal scorer to Luis Suarez, isn't he? And even though, if you analyse some of his best goals this season, the Spurs goal, the Everton goal, he scored some absolute stunners, hasn't he? But there's something that lives a little bit different in your brain about how Mo Salah scores.
Yeah, I think it's probably just because Suarez was so bullish in how he played. I think, you know, Suarez very much played on the edge. You know, he looked as likely to snap, and we saw this, as likely to snap and get sent off or do something stupid as to stick something in the top bin. Whereas Mo Salah just looks like, he looks aggressive, but in a really positive way, if that's possible. I don't know. He just looks like a nice guy, and you don't begrudge him. And when he's got that touch of arrogance, it's like he's so excited with how good he's become.
He's perfected a celebration as well, hasn't he? Almost statuesque.
Yeah, that will. You could see that if Liverpool ever decided to open a new batch of statues in 20, 30 years' time or whatever, you could see that one being one of them in the future. Definitely,
it looks great. Can he do it again? I mean, this is the largest of the questions, isn't it? When it comes around to next season, Paul, how much pressure is there, and can you realistically get beyond 30 goals again? I mean, it was done by Alan Shearer in 94 and 95, but it's so hard to do.
I mean, two things. First and foremost, at this point, I genuinely don't care, provided he just does it for the next few games. Because if he does that, then we have a nice big piece of silverware to celebrate all summer. But now, you know what? I don't know, because I can't fathom how he's done it this season. So I've been waiting all year for it to go through a dry spell. Most players do. We've seen it so often. We've been so, we've lacked a real goal scorer so many seasons in the last, you know, 20 years that I'm expecting the well to run dry at some point, but it hasn't. So there's no reason why. I mean, this side's only going to get better under this manager next year, so why not?
It's the nature of football fans to be pessimistic, isn't it, to think it's all going to come to an end? Was it always a two-horse race, do you think, between him and Kevin De Bruyne? Because some of the other names in the running have had fantastic seasons. I mean, Harry Kane's obviously had a bit of injury that's been a problem. Leroy Sané's been amazing, hasn't he? He won the Young Player of the Year.
Yeah, yeah. I think so. And I think, to be fair, once they decided to put Harry Kane in the young player category for some reason, I think that made it slightly more open in terms of Mo. Because, yeah, I think it was down to those two. I think Sergio Aguero. But Sergio Aguero has been good when he's played. I think he's played quite enough football. And also, I think there's that thing of just hot property, isn't he? And you can't look past the amount of awards he's won on the way to winning this one, too, I guess.
Right, I don't want to even talk about West Brom. I just want to talk about the European Cup semi-final because it's the most exciting thing I've felt for quite a few years, to be honest. The fact that Liverpool are at this stage is amazing, isn't it? You wouldn't have thought this at the beginning of the campaign.
No, I'm genuinely giddy with excitement with it, and I've been like that for the last couple of rounds, if I'm honest. No, I totally agree. I'd said at the start of the season, the end of last season, if Liverpool's objectives for this year were to re-secure top four and to get out of the groups in the Champions League. And if you do that, you can go, tick, there's progression, that's fine, and we'll build on for next season. And it's kind of like Jürgen and the team have gone, yeah, that's nice. That is a nice, safe approach to this season, but let's see if we can push it a bit further. And, you know, we're at a point now, Steve, where, you know, it's a decade since we were last here. And that doesn't seem like, I mean, you know, sadly for you and I, you know, that doesn't seem that long ago. We were in our prime then.
Yeah.
You know, there's a generation of young Liverpool fans coming up now for whom the last 10 years of Liverpool being a disappointment is what their Liverpool's been like. So, you know, for me, I'm excited because I love this kind of stuff, and I'm excited for the lads who are now in, like, 18, 19, 20, who have been to every game along the way, never experienced this before, and they are just having the absolute ride of their lives.
Yeah, because it's an unbelievable life experience. And do you know what? A decade ago, Paul, that was a chance wasted. That was a final they should have won against AC Milan.
Mm, yeah, exactly. You know, this shows how far Liverpool have fallen. Anyway, you know, you talk about the finals and semi-finals is what we were doing. We had that great spell, you know, five or six years. You know, from Gerard Houllier through to Rafa Benitez, and the wheels fell off. And you know, for me, it doesn't feel like that long ago. But then you sit down and you look at it and you realise how far we've fallen. And I'm sure I apologise to Evertonians listening because I know this will fall on deaf ears to anyone. You know, we've been okay really in the grand scheme of things. Like, but you know, really, this is what football's all about, isn't it? This is, you know, the rewards for going through the stuff that you go through every now and again. You get to do these kind of things, and it's great to see Liverpool back doing the stuff that I grew up with them doing.
I was going to say, you're making out it's been disastrous. We've had Luis Suarez and all sorts in that
time,
10 years.
Yeah, again, apologies to the Tranmere Rovers fans and the people further afield. In the grand scheme of football, it's not been that bad, but in the grand scheme of Liverpool, I'm so glad that we're back to being a competitive side again.
So on paper, Liverpool should be going, right, we should get through this doubleheader. We should beat Roma. But I've sort of got the feeling that in Rome, they're probably saying the same thing. Best chance, best draw we could have got.
Yeah, no, exactly. Look, we're third favourites for it and they're fourth favourites for it. It stands to reason that both teams got the ideal draw for them, really, out of this. So, you know, it is. There's definitely a story building in Rome about how this is the resurgence for them, the same way that it's building for us. And it's going to come down to the players on the field. Ultimately, they've got a very positive, forward-thinking manager. So have we. I just hope it comes down to, if it's down to application, maybe they'll match us. But then it's down to raw ability, and that front three that we've got is just something else. You know, I'd have them as probably the best front three in world football at the moment. And if they can do the biz, then, you know, there's no reason why Liverpool can't get through to a final.
Paul, brilliant. Loads on Red Men TV at the moment. Is there previewing it?
Yeah, absolutely. Build up short there. Chris will be previewing the starting 11 prediction, which he always gets wrong. So definitely worth keeping in line for that later today.
Good man. Thanks very much. Take care, Paul.
Cheers, Steve.
The Kickoff.
Rock, sport, and talk.
Radio City Talk.